It is my honor to introduce our guest speaker today. A guy that's become a brother to me, a guy that I actually look up to. Not very many people I look up to, but this one I do. TJ works with our youth upstairs. He is a blessing. And if you want to have a little bit of fun in your life, get around this guy. He loves him some Jesus, and he is a ball of fun. So, TJ, welcome. Church, can we give him a round of applause, encourage him?
Morning, everybody. So, like he said, my name is TJ Shear. I've been coming to church here for about 5 years, a little bit more than that. I've been working with the youth for about 3 years. I got a beautiful family, Julie, my wife, and then I have Riley and Dessa. Riley's in 8th grade, Dessa's in 5th grade. I just love how God works in our lives and how he's allowed me to do so many great things in this church. But so y'all probably wondering, well, what's TJ doing up here? Well, Sam gave me a call at lunch about 2 weeks ago and said, hey, I want you to go up and preach, and I want them to kind of hear from somebody who's preaching upstairs. And the whole time he's giving me the rundown, I'm like, I'll tell you Wednesday. I'll tell you Wednesday. I don't think I got to Wednesday. I think Sam just took that as a yes. And we just, so I've been studying this for 2 weeks. And something that I felt when he was saying, hey, this is something that God laid on my heart that I want you to talk to the congregation on Sunday morning, to the adults. I felt like, I can't do that. I'm going to strike out. It's easy to talk to the youth. You've been there, you've done that, but you want me to talk to adults. The guys and gals in this room have either been through what I've been through or going through worse than I've been through or I'll ever go through. How am I supposed to teach adults that are way past me in scripture, in life, and everything? What am I going to do? I'm going to strike out. So, of course, I jump in the Bible and I start reading, start going through, and I start realizing that any time on all the stories I looked at that someone did what God called them to do, they never struck out. Every single time they made contact. But something that we still get is the heart that we have when God calls us to do these things. And in my studying that I went through, I found that there was three hearts that we could potentially have when God's calling us to do these things. So before I jump into that, I want to say a quick prayer. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for everybody who made it here safely. God, I pray that you give me the words that you want me to have to tell these people, and I pray that these people can understand the words that you give me to give to them. Thank you for sending your son to sacrifice for all of our sins. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so the jump, we're going to stay for the first part. We're going to stay in the same story that we've been in for 3 weeks. We're going to stay in Jonah. So we're going to talk about the heart Jonah has as God calls him to do what God called him to do. So as we're coming down through the story of Jonah, we have Jonah that gets called to go talk to Nineveh, which are a bunch of terrible people, and he tries running. But just like when we all run, we end up back where God calls us to be at. And he runs, he jumps on a ship, there's a storm, he gets thrown off the ship, a whale swallows him, or a big fish, and spits him out on the shore. And he goes and he speaks to Nineveh the words that God gave him to speak to Nineveh. Well, this is where we pick up the heart he has. Just like I said, when you do what God calls you to do, it's a home run. And I'm going to apologize right now. When I talk to the youth, I use a lot of sports analogy. I'm a coach at heart, so that's where I love sports, and you're going to hear a lot of sports analogies through this. So I'm going to apologize for that first. Plus, it's about baseball season, so why not use some baseball analogies? So when you got Jonah, he has this heart after doing what God told him to do of anger and dismay. So we're going to pick up in chapter 4, and I'm going to read down through a little bit, and then we'll cover what I read, and then we'll keep going. So we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4, first verse. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, it is not this what I said when I was yet in my country. That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting for disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? So what I see here is this heart, like we're bouncing back and forth to the baseball analogy of God calls him, he goes up, he swings, he makes contact, and he bloopers it, he feels, to the pitcher. So he sits there, and he's just, you all been to a Little League game, throws his helmet off, and he's stomping, again, he's pouting about, this is the way I wanted it. God, I knew this way was going to turn out. I fight the Ninevites. I wanted them to be destroyed, and here you are, you're blessing them. Everything is going great for them. And just like in Little League, when a coach is yelling at the kid, run, 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 God's yelling at Jonah, like, does it do you well to be angry? I'm telling you, just run the bases. That's all I'm asking you to do. And he just, nope, he's throwing a fit, like a typical little leaguer. And he goes on down in the scripture, and this is, it shows God's grace. This is the great thing about the God that we serve. So he's sitting here and he's throwing a fit, and we're going to pick up in verse 5. Jonah went out to the city and set the east of the city and made a booth for himself there, and he sat under the shade till he should see the coming of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant, here God goes, appointing mercy, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from discomfort. So now God's called you to do something. You didn't want to do it, but you did it. And you're disappointed about what happened, because either hoping that when you shared the gospel with somebody, that they would have been like, that's awesome, I want Jesus in my life. But instead, they made fun of the gospel, or they tried fighting facts or arguing with you, and you're upset about it. And God's showing mercy. It's okay. It's going to be fine. But we're back to Jonah's heart, where he's just stubborn. He's just stubborn. He has this stubborn heart going into this calling. And we're going to pick right back up. We're going to go, so Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm. So like, God's like, it's okay to be upset, but get over it. Get over it. It's time to move on. We need you to run the bases. We need you to get the first. We need you to love. We need you to be honest. We need you to be obedient. I don't need you sitting here. So God points the worm to attack the plant. So it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head, that he was faint. God's like, get up. It's time to go to work. Quit pouting. He asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry at the plant? So like, ask yourself, when you're angry at these situations that happen that God calls you or puts you in, does it do you well to be angry at that comfort that God gives you? Like, God's telling you it's going to be okay, but Jonah's like, nope. Now, a lot of us have Jonah's heart. I know I've had it. And I probably, at some point after this, I'll probably struggle with it. And God's like, don't make me send a well after you. That's what happened when it came to the sermon. He asked me to do it, I said, well, I don't know. It's kind of a scary thing. And then, but being swallowed by a well is way scarier. So I got to do what God calls to do. So jump back in, and he said, yes, I do well to be angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came in the being of a night and perished in a night. And you should I not pity Nineveh, the great city which there was more than 120 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? So God is trying his best to explain to Jonah that this is a big picture. Quit pouting, quit whining. This is a giant picture. Like we're studying yesterday, and we come across, we're like, man, why does God keep bringing up the cattle? We're talking about the Ninevites. Why do we keep bringing up their cattle? Well, I think it's trying to explain there's a bigger picture. Like when you go and you talk to somebody, you're trying to share the gospel to them because God's called you to share the gospel of that person. There's cattle behind it, right? Not to call kids cattle. There's a lot behind that. There's their kids and their kids after that and their kids after that. So when you're just, God's like, man, I need you to go share the gospel with this guy. Well, I don't like that guy. Well, we're not worried about that guy. We're trying to change that heart because he's got kids and those kids are going to have kids. And we're trying to make a nation that follows God. We're not worried about your feelings. So on the baseball analogy, he pouts, he stomps, and God throws him out at first base and tells him to go sit in the dugout. And we never get to see the extended story of what happens. God will do that to us when we have that heart. He will throw you out, he'll set you back in the dugout, and it's time to go get some more bat practice, some Bible practice, get into some Sunday school, start learning the word a little bit more. Learn that it's not about your feelings, it's not about my feelings. It's about what God calls us to do. So that's the first heart. That's the first heart that you can have when it comes to calling, is a Jonah heart. The second heart, another heart that I struggle with, when I was trying to do this, there was something that ticked in the back of my head, and God, speaking to me of saying, I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to speak to these adults? And God said, I'm going to teach you something, and you're going to tell them what I taught you. It's that simple. You ain't got to do anything else. I'm going to teach you something. And God definitely, when Sam says that when you're preparing and it's going to beat you up for the last 2 weeks, it's like, hey, you need to quit having a stubborn heart when I call you to do something. And then this second one is a prideful heart. So what we're going to be talking about, we're going to jump back a little bit. We're going to be in 1 Samuel. Now, 1 Samuel is the story of King Saul. King Saul is the first king of Israel. And even God was like, guys, I'm telling you, a king's going to have a prideful heart. And they're like, no, we want a king. So we go in and you start seeing as you're going through 1 Samuel that King Saul has a little bit of a pride issue. And it keeps building up and it kind of comes to a head in 1 Samuel chapter 15. So in this chapter, God tells Saul that I want you to go kill everything that has to do with Amalekites. I want you to go, I want the people dead, I want the animals dead, I want everybody dead, they're evil people. And after this, then you can keep. But this, I want you to go, I want everybody gone, everybody dead. So he goes and this is when you start kicking in a lot of eyes with King Saul. I did this, and I did it because of this, and I did it because of that. So Samuel, in this book, Samuel is a prophet of God. And God sends Samuel to go check on King Saul, already knowing what King Saul did. We see this in the Bible a lot. When God goes and, I'm going to go ask questions, but I already know the answer. I need you to answer your own question. So Samuel goes to King Saul and he's like, so, how's it going? And he goes to beating his chest. I did what God told me to do. So this kind of reflects to me as King Saul's probably that 13-year-old that plays an 8U. You know, he's got the picture, I am 8 with the $20 bill. And, hey, I got this. I'm awesome. And he goes up to the plate and he crushes it. Boom! I did what God told me to do. Look at me. Look at me. And God's like, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to hit the ball and run. What are you over there pounding your chest and finding your mom in the crowd and telling her, yeah, I got this, I got this, and doing the bat flip thing. And he goes, what did you do? He goes, well, I captured the king. And it's like, God didn't tell you to capture a king. God told you to kill everybody. Why do I hear the sheep and why do I hear oxen? Oh, well, I kept them because we're going to sacrifice them. I'm trying to do big things, you know. I know he told me to kill them all, but God likes sacrifice. So I kept them for that. And this is where it points out to the prideful heart. You read on down through the chapter 15 and you get all the way down to verse 22. And this right here, I got this circle from our study in yesterday also. That when it comes to that prideful heart, that you want to, like, you get a chance, and I've been there. You get a chance that somebody's hurting, somebody needs something, and you get a chance because what God has gave you, that God put you in positions to help that person, and instead of when someone says, man, I heard so-and-so, man, I heard you helped them out. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm pretty cool. I'm a part of a really cool church, and that's just what I do. You know, I help people out. That's, you're taking God's glory. You're being prideful. When in that chance you could have, yeah, I heard so-and-so got helped out. Yeah, God's good. God does some crazy things. He be showing out sometimes. That's your chance to do those things. And right here it speaks to it. Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in to obey the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than to the fat of the rams. So it's not the blessings that we're worried about. It's about listening and obeying. It's what God calls you to do, not what happens after that, that he's worried about. He's not worried about the sacrifices you make, the time you give, the money you give. He's not worried about that. He's worried about the heart. You listening and obeying to him. That's what part of it is. So just like in the first analogy, when the kid bloopers it to the pitcher, here King Saul, he's popped up and he's like, that's a home run. And God's like, nope, that's going to fall short. And that center fielder is going to catch it, and you're out. You go to the dugout, and you sit down. And here's the great thing about both those stories. Jonah's story ends abruptly. We don't get to see what happens. King Saul's story, he gets kicked off the team. You know, like he goes to the dugout, and then he gets kicked off the team. All of our stories are still rolling. We don't have an abrupt end right now. We still have the time when we get out of church to go do something great. King Saul gets kicked off the team. We're not kicked off the team. Some of us, we're trying to get you to join the team. So something that I just absolutely love about the way God leads this church and then the way that this work works is I just beat you guys up, and I beat myself up for two hearts. It's the prideful heart and the dismayed heart. But we have a great ending. We have the third heart. I know I'm jumping around in the Bible a lot. When you're teaching the youth, hardly any of them bring their Bible. We just put it up there, and you read it. You ain't got to flip around everywhere. So we're back to the third heart. I know I'm in Acts chapter 9. Just got to find my sticky. There it is. Acts chapter 9. So this is the third heart. This is the heart that God really, really wants when you're called to do something. So to kind of get you caught up in this story, we're going to talk about another Saul. We're not talking about King Saul. This is a different Saul. This is Saul / Paul, the Apostle Paul. It's a story that we're talking about. But we're not going to talk about his heart. We're going to talk about Ananias' heart. So this story rolls in of Saul. Saul is a evil, terrible person, kills Christians, he brings evil on the church. He's a bad dude. And We have a guy that's injected into this story called Ananias. And this conversion from Saul into the Apostle Paul, this is kind of like the one of the guys that really gets the wheels turning. So as Saul is doing these terrible things, God comes to him and blinds him. And then he jumps over to Ananias, and that's what we're going to jump into right here. We're going to jump into Acts chapter 9, verse 10. So we got Saul, God, he's blind, and we're moved down to what's going to happen next. Now there was a disciple at Damascus called Ananias, and the Lord said to him in the vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, the Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to a street called Straight in the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus, and his name is Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered the Lord, and I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, so God's called you to go do something crazy. So, you know, hey, I need you to go teaching a sermon on Sunday morning. I'm like the big sermon? And God's like, yeah. So right here, God's called you to go talk to somebody that doesn't believe in God, that's going to argue with you, that may not be the most lovingest person on the planet, maybe to go fix a relationship with them with love. And God said, go. Go. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that guy that you could go and you could pray for, and he could say, you're dead. You know, he has that power to have your head cut off. Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. So, that, like I said, there's just a, not a real hesitation, just, is this what you want me to do? Are you sure? God's, yes, this is what I want you to do. And he went. So he's got this serving heart. God's called him to the batter's box, and he's swinging, and he's making contact, right? So this is what God wants you to do. I want you to make contact, and I want you to go do, I want you to run the bases. And he says, he lays his hands in on him and says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road by which you came, and he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales happen. So here Ananias comes around the bases. He's rounded first. And he regains his sight, and he arose and was baptized. And Ananias baptized him, and he rounds second. And he takes the food and strengthened him. He rounds third. He made sure that he was back on his feet. He fed him, made sure that he was ready to go, to get back onto the road, to go be the Apostle Paul. And everything that happens, and we never see Ananias again. He's out of the story. And Ananias is okay with that. We need to be okay with that. When God calls you to go love somebody, to be in a calling, you do what God tells you to do. You go, you love. You go, you obey, you be honest, you do those things, you round the bases, and there'll be a home run. God will take care of the rest. This is the same heart that you find in Jesus. At the end of the day, that's the heart we need to all have. It's the heart that Jesus had. Jesus was called to do some crazy things. I mean, you read through Jesus' story. He's doing wild things that he doesn't want to do, all the way to crucifixion, that his body was like, do I really got to do this? This is going to suck. But he follows through with it. That's the heart that we all need to really have. And so when Sam calls me up here to say, hey, I want you to let them kind of hear a little bit of what's going on upstairs, this is what I want to end with. when having these hearts, when having an Ananias heart, having a heart of Jesus, make sure that you don't have a half heart. This is something that we really teach upstairs. Don't be half-hearted. And when I say that, don't be half-hearted, be inclusive. This is something that some people might say that it's kind of new school church. Like you're telling our kids to be inclusive, like with people that are living immoral lives and sinning, you know. And yeah, we're talking about homosexuality and transgender. We're being inclusive. Now, don't take me wrong. We're still teaching them that it's a sin and that it's not okay. But at the end of the day, the real old school church, what Jesus Christ taught us, is when we don't scroll by the sinner's table and say, hey, God loves you. Amen. We don't scroll by and say, hey, I'll be praying for you guys. I'm going to just keep you out there. You know, when y'all get it fixed, then you can come in. No. We're teaching these kids to be loving, honest, and obedient to these people who are living immoral lives. Because at the end of the day, we all know, just because we've all been there, we've all been sinners, we've all done immoral things, and when, if somebody keeps you at the end of their arm, those things always lead to sadness and loneliness and seeking refuge. Are those people going to seek refuge in God's church if God's people have you at arm's reach? We've got to be inclusive. We got to go sit with them. We got to eat with them. We got to be honest with them. We have to love them and show them what obedience looks like. So, in closing, I want to say a prayer, and then Sam's going to come up and do the invitation. I appreciate you guys for allowing me to come up here. I love you guys.